Hello, dear friends and precious brethren. God bless you all. Welcome to Radio Blast. We hope you're all happy and healthy and strong in the Lord. We hope you had a wonderful week for Jesus. I am here in the studio with Deborah and with Brother Joseph.
Hi. Blessings to all.
Hello. God bless you.
How are you, Deborah and Joseph?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, how do you think I am, Deborah? Do you think I'm okay?
Oh, you look great today.
Okay. I need to hear that.
Oh, yes, always.
You always, you mean, try to encourage me? I guess
when you're tired.
I guess I need encouragement.
Well, actually, you're one of the best encouragers in this house because you always come and encourage us, even when we don't deserve it or when we are not really up to the level.
Well,
you always encourage us.
That's because thanks to the Lord.
Amen. Well, you said that the Lord gave you a message this morning. What is it about?
Well, it's about that. In order to survive in this end time, we will have to be a church of pastors.
A church of pastors?
Yes, everyone has to be a pastor.
Well, every church has a pastor.
Yeah, this has to be a church of pastors.
Wow.
A church of full-heart disciples, and everyone who wants to be part of a church has to be getting the head, they have to become a pastor, a disciple, a preacher, a witnesser, a healer. It doesn't matter if it's super great or just a little bit, as long as he tries. He will succeed. He that overcomes, I will grant you to sit on my throne, Jesus said.
Amen. Actually, you just mentioned today concerning the children and the way you are raising them, that you are training them to become leaders, not just to be children of their age, but be mature and have responsibilities and become leaders already. Like one day they might be, by God's grace, princes in God's kingdom.
Amen, 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 amen. We should look at each other like prince and princesses. We were talking this morning the way we are raising the children here, like king and queens. Like they receive training to be king and queens for Jesus.
Amen.
Like to be faithful in the little things, to memorize, to witness. And they do that. We don't even have to tell them, go witness, and they just jump and go.
In fact, in the last period, they were pretty much under pressure, the children, because besides the work of the mission, which they're very much involved, and they help us so much in the evangelization, besides that, they actually had to study so much for an exam that they just had the other day.
Yes, it was very good for them. Wednesday, we went to a test to have them examined in a school here, local school.
You brought five, right?
Five biggest.
Yeah.
The youngest one is only four. He almost knows how to read, but he's not there.
Yeah, they do homeschooling, but once in a while we take them to some school and have exams, you know?
Yes.
So also to show people that we need to show that they are okay.
Yeah, because people wonder, but how does it function? If they do homeschooling, then who's testing them? What's their level? Homeschooling
right.
Children, are they behind
yeah.
compared to normal children?
Are you doing anything at all, or is it just a big smoke in your
yeah,
eyes?
Yeah, really.
Oh, we do.
Oh, yeah.
We do, yes.
My wife knows a lot of sweat and tears.
No, so we brought them to a school where we had done a program, and they were very favorable. And actually, when we showed up, they said, oh, we saw you before.
Yeah,
the teachers were
coming. They did the show, the gospel program.
Yes, the children did.
Right.
So it was very nice. They were favorable. And they tested our children both written and also orally. We didn't expect oral, but actually it went very good. And the kids did like it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We thought they would be too shy, or, you know.
know.
But actually it went
yeah.
very good.
I know they pushed a bit. They pushed quite a bit to really excel and do good. So
yeah.
How did it go?
So
good.
I was impressed.
Tell everybody.
But even the teachers there were very impressed with them because they got scores very, very high, like of 100%, they got above 90 and up.
Yeah, like here the scoring system in the schools, it's by percentage, up to 100%. And all of them passed the exams with over 90.
Okay, the minimum to pass is what?
60.
60. They all go between 93 to 100.
From 93 to 100.
Okay, Jasmine, she got 100.
Jasmine, the 7-year-old, yeah.
And at this time they were shocked.
Yes.
So how come you guys homeschooling? They're doing better than ours.
Yeah, they thought, well, we don't know what to expect. They're homeschooled, you know, that's different. And maybe they don't do so much. But they saw that with the Scholastic, they were very much up to
Well, that thanks to you that you're so faithful in teaching them.
Well, I have helpers too.
Yeah.
God bless the
That's
sisters,
a blessing
yeah.
living in a community.
Yeah. Yeah. But I want to say that the children, I noticed that they are not like when I was in school. I was so bored of school, studying all that thing and sticking it in my head, things I never needed, and after 3 days I forgot it and I didn't care about studying it, I didn't like it. But your children, because they study less hours, they study very concentrated, And besides that, their activities, it's all inspiring for the Lord, with people, with helping others. And they have a very inspiring, exciting life. So to do a few hours of school a day for them is not such a sacrifice like it was for me. Really boring. Now, just the last few weeks, they had to actually give it a push to study, to prepare for this exam. But now they're over it. They're all happy.
Mm. Yes. They're so happy. Thank you, Lord. Hey, here, children, I have 1 4-year-old. He doesn't need to be told to go witness. He's always asking, can I go out witnessing? Can I go out? Can I go out?
Oh, yes. He's very much on the attack.
Yes. In fact, right now, it happens that we have some brethren that came down from Italy to visit. And they really wanted to know, how does the school system function? Homeschooling, and how do they give an exam, to what school, how does it work?
They took the plane to come and take a look, actually.
Yes.
For 10 days they are here. They're very sweet couple with 2 children.
Because you see, the children study in English and the schools are all in Spanish, but still the exam they gave in this school was with the English teacher, and they did it in English without any problems.
Yeah, exactly.
So this family coming down from Italy, they said for many years they were thinking to move, not just out of Italy, but out of Europe.
Right.
Because they said that in a few years, Europe is becoming like America.
Yeah, they told me that Europe is not the Europe I used to know. It's changing so fast, so antichrist, so horrible. And they are really thinking about moving out.
Including Italy, which we've been there evangelizing so many times, and people are very affectionate and sweet. But they said it's changed
because
of the globalization.
Yeah.
They mentioned it's not like that anymore.
Yeah.
People are colder.
Now, weirdos are coming from all over the planet. And now people are losing their personality. The nations are losing their nationalities, spirit. The races are losing their, the culture values. And everybody is, tense. Everybody is on the defensive. And it's a mess. You see, the devil is trying to mix everything and everybody up so that he can just... Because the devil has a hard time dealing with different races, different ideologies. He wants everybody the same, so he can just put a puppet on top and lead everybody wherever he wants. And that's what's happening in the world.
Yeah,
globalization is the devil mixing up languages and culture and nations so that there will be just one big soup. Okay, with the same taste.
It's a smart plan, and it seems like it's working.
Same taste, bad. So he will put a puppet on top, and then he will lead the globalized world, which globalization is a nice word to say the next world empire.
So this family came down with the 2 children, and they just want to investigate how is life here and the situation in the country, how everything functions, not just the school system, but also how to find a job and the medical system and everything in general. They are investigating. So they're going to spend here 10 days looking around. They are asking us whatever we can help them with. We're sharing with them from our experience. But, of course, as missionaries, we're not so much involved in the way the system works here. But they are going to find out all these things. And in the meanwhile, of course, they have been listening to our radio for a month now. Just a month ago, they got to know us because they found the radio. And they've been following the radio, and they got this confirmation that, look, other Europeans moved out actually for this reason, that we're in the end times, that things are getting worse. So that encouraged them to also take a trip just to visit the place.
Yeah, then God bless you. There are so many questions.
Yes.
I'm up here every night with them. Just, there are so many questions. Yes. Also, the children were a little kind of fish out of water. But now they're just blending in with our children. Our children are witnessing to them. And
yes. Oh, yes, that was beautiful yesterday. Like, they have an 8-year-old girl, and Jasmine was playing on a blanket with some Legos, and Jasmine is 7. So as they were...
She doesn't speak a word Italian. She doesn't speak one word Italian.
No,
they got along still somehow, playing together.
In fact, they cannot communicate.
So they were playing together on the carpet?
Yeah, they're playing on a carpet with some Legos. And suddenly, Jasmine takes the girl by the 2 hands, puts the hands in her lap, and says, Gesù ti ama. That she knew.
Jesus loves
And she caressed the face of the girl. And then she asked me to translate, and she said, do you want to go to heaven? And the little girl said, mm-hmm. And then Jasmine continued, then let's pray to receive Jesus in your heart. And Jasmine, holding her hand, just said the prayer to receive Jesus in
the
heart.
And the girl prayed?
The girl prayed, repeated. I was translating in Italian. And Jasmine asked for the Holy Spirit, forgiveness of sins, all that. And at the end, Jasmine gave her a hug and said, now you need to go tell others about Jesus so they can also go to heaven like you. And she started just evangelizing her. There are so many sad people in the world who have nobody who loves them. They don't have a family. You need to go tell them about Jesus so they can be happy too. And on she went. I was actually very surprised, because I know Jasmine loves evangelization and she used to come on the streets to distribute tracts. But this came completely from her heart, with her own words, just by itself. Yeah,
you were kind of surprised,
I was
in
surprised.
The middle of playing.
Very surprised.
You see, like they say, the train up a child the way he shall go, when he's old, he shall not depart from it. See, like Jesus said, that the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever we've been putting into the children is coming out. You don't have to push it out. You don't have to push them or rebuke them, nothing. Just love them, it comes out by itself.
So then Jasmine asked the girl, what do you think about all this? And the girl said, mi piace tutto. Yeah, I like everything.
I like everything.
So Jasmine happy, good, you're growing.
You're growing. A disciple.
You're growing.
Amazing. Praise the Lord.
We are so proud. I mean, that makes a mother's heart just warm.
Amen. Yeah, but it's not that our children are superior or superior race or superior intelligence. It's just a matter of training. It's a decision that we took. I know the brethren are wondering, oh, you have a special breed. Not at all. We're the same brand here, have the head of the church. Okay? But we made the decision that we dedicated the children before they were born to Jesus. Yeah. And at every turn, the devil tried to kill a few of them, but they didn't make it, because every time we said that Jesus belonged to you, we gave them to you, you are the father, you are the shepherd, they're your children. And the devil lost every time.
Yeah, but it still has to come from their hearts. They need to make that decision that they want to witness and
of
do
course.
It. You know?
Of course, we train them.
We can train.
And then it's like when the time of decision comes, they'll have to decide, of course.
Exactly.
People can still decide to be Christian 90%, 60%, 10%, or 5%. That is something between them and the Lord. For now, we give them a 100% training, discipleship training.
Amen.
And that's in God's hands and their hands.
Yes. That's why it was so inspiring for us to see.
Exciting.
Amen. So now we are organizing, Dora just organized a meeting in an old folks home where we are going to go present an evangelization program. The children will present a gospel theater about how to receive Jesus and how to grow close to Jesus. And we're going to invite also the brethren to come and participate.
We're all going to go. We're going to do a gospel program. I'm going to do a little preaching, God willing.
Yes.
And these friends are so happy to come.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
And then we take them with us to go distribute some food to poor families. Actually involve them
In
the ministry. They do.
They want
really
to do something, you know. Because we do have a little humanitarian work on the sides of preaching the gospel. And we kind of blend them together.
Amen.
Because it's good to show some material love, not just theoretic.
Yes.
Amen.
So, Brother Joseph, going back to the topic of today, which you started in the beginning of the program, you were saying we need to be a church of pastors. Can you explain? Because I told you every church has a pastor, and you're saying in the end time we need to be all pastors. How do you understand that?
Well, you see, every church has a standard. Like they have a Bible school, they have a denomination, they want to be a Jehovah's Witness, they want to be Catholic, they want to be Protestant. Well, I feel that this end time, like the only ones who are going to make it like victoriously, are the ones that the standard is going to be Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to put our whole heart. Look, I give a scripture, Exodus 19.
Okay,
this is like the goal which was in God's mind from the beginning. Verse 5 and 6.
5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel.
So this was the plan of God. Like he wanted Israel to be a light in the world to bring all people to him, which Israel didn't do.
You shall be a kingdom of priests.
Exactly, a kingdom of priests.
That's verse 6.
All right, so... And now it's the same plan that God has for the Christian church, which church has failed miserably, just like Israel of old.
Hmm.
In this same time, God is going to allow a distraction, just like it happened to Israel. God destroyed so many times because of disobedience. Disobedience to reach the world. They sectarize themselves, and they just collapse, imploded, collapse on themselves. Christianity is doing the same. Look what Isaiah 61:5 says.
Isaiah 61?
Yeah. So we are, each one of us is supposed to be a priest. It's said in the Old Testament, it says in the New Testament.
Hmm. 61:5. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your wine dressers.
6.
But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves.
Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2. So, okay. You understand here, this is the call of God for us. We're supposed to be prince, princesses, kings, and queens in God's kingdom. So this is the standard. The standard is not to just be silly Christian. Silly Christian, they always need a shepherd, always
need
a pastor.
But this, you think, applies to everybody, to each Christian?
Well, Jesus trained the disciples to be a leader, to be a priest, to be a pastor, to be a prophet. He trained the 12. So we, each one of us, in fact, I'm not just thinking about my little church here. I think about every church in the world should have this goal that the pastor should train everyone in the church to be a pastor and like him and better than him.
So when you say that we should all be pastors, you don't mean that we all need to be ordained and have our own group or congregation. In a way, what I see is you're saying we should all be leaders. Leaders in God's kingdom.
Yeah, you're not talking about with diplomas. You know what I think about diplomas.
Yes.
They could just go for nothing. Like in the Bible, not diplomas. God's diploma is the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes, but also being a pastor, it's not that you need to expect to be elected by somebody. You just be a pastor for Jesus, a leader for Jesus, wherever you go, whenever, all the
time.
See,
the true leaders of God, they were never elected. Or you elect a leader when the church is in confusion, when the church doesn't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But in a church where there is a Peter, a Paul, a John, an apostle with the gifts, you don't elect him. The gifts, God has already elected him through the gifts. If a guy that does miracle, you don't need to elect him like the deacon of the miracles. A guy is at the gifts of evangelizing, you don't need to elect him as the apostle of the church. The guy his gifts will elect him. In the same gifts, okay. make room for him. So that's what I'm saying. So train every church. For sure, we are working in our church in that direction. Like our children are in that direction. Our children, they're all little disciples.
But you know, I never thought that is the gifts that make you stand out or the talents, because that differs from person to person. I always thought it's not about the talents, it's about the faithfulness.
Well, gifts come from faithfulness. Because when you receive the Holy Spirit, we all are potentially all the gifts of the Spirit. They will get developed according to our faithfulness. I develop my gifts, my gift of healing and miracles by exercising exercising them.
Yeah, okay.
Now, you pray for the sick. When the person recovers slowly, that's a gift of healing. When a person gets healed on the spot, that is not a gift of healing, it's a gift of miracle. Because something changed. Like when I pray with this lady, 75 years old, she was dying of a problem with her heart for years. I pray for her. All of a sudden, she just got healed in a second, and she's still healed 10 years later.
Yes, but that's
a miracle. So what I'm saying is your faithfulness develops your gifts.
Yes, because I see it is more on based on faithfulness, because a person, let's say, can have many talents and gifts, can be a good speaker, very outgoing, has a lot of drive, maybe has initiative, but is an unfaithful person. I mean, all these talents are good for nothing because they're not invested to bring fruit.
It depends what kind of unfaithfulness we're talking here. If the guy is in a persistent disobedience,
yes.
He's going to get in trouble. Like yes. Judas, for example, was unfaithful. He had all the gifts like all the others. Judas was raising the dead, he was healing the sick, but he lost everything because of unfaithful. He started listening.
Exactly, yes. But then there are people who maybe they're not so outgoing, such a show, maybe they don't have such a great leading talent, but they're really faithful in little things. And those people, even shy, they can be great leaders.
Look, I remember many years ago, I had the leaders working with me, and it was, I remember one leader that he wasn't as good as in evangelizing like I was. It was not as good as me in doing this and that. However, he was my leader.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the guy was shy, introverted. All right? He was, you say, good for nothing. But he was the leader because he had gifts of wisdom.
Wow.
He had gifts of faith. Mm-hmm. He had discernment. You know, these gifts, the invisible gifts, are more important than the big showy.
Yes.
Tongues, miracles, and healing,
yes.
Which you get a lot of clapping, a lot of glory, But those gifts, they don't keep you faithful. Mm-hmm. Those gifts, they don't keep you close to Jesus. Those gifts can be a distraction, like many gospel of prosperity preachers are doing. They use the gifts of healing and miracle to make money. Mm-hmm. But the best gifts are the invisible ones, gifts of faith, discernment, knowledge. So faith, discernment, knowledge, and wisdom. These are invisible. Nevertheless, they are the most important.
It's true. It's
because
true.
If you have the gift of faith, boy, from that every gift comes out.
Yes.
Gifts of faith, that will make you faithful. The gifts of discernment, you will discern when a guy is a false Christian. He looks good, but he's bad. Somebody else looks bad, but he's good. Discernment, you cannot be a leader without the invisible gifts. The most important gifts are the invisible, not the showy ones. So tongues are important, miracles are important, but you'll not get anywhere with that. You just make a lot of noise.
Yes.
Okay, what you need is gift number one, love. Love is not a gift. It's something everybody has. You just have to decide to use it, to be loving. So you need love by a decision, and then faith, discernment. Okay, those kind of gifts is like you also decide in the sense you become being faithful. You begin exercise them, and you grow in that. And then eventually, for example, to practice the gift of healing, you keep praying and praying and praying and praying. I don't believe the devil that says, look, nothing is happening. You keep going until one day it happens. It could happen after one day. It can happen after a few hours, after a few days. You keep exercising. You like a baby is learning to walk. You will fall down 100 times. You need to get up and start and try again.
Amen. So that's what it takes to be a leader. Actually, like what you said, the invisible gifts. It's not so much the talents that everybody can see. I know that sometimes in churches, it's more like a show, like a big, big show that they are putting up, instead of just really humbly open your heart to Jesus and let the Spirit come in.
But also if you're small, like I said, that was a very nice brother. He was a leader. He didn't have the gifts I had, but he had more gifts than me as far as wisdom and faithfulness. But he was a leader. So in a church, if somebody doesn't have, is not so good in evangelizing, not so good in getting souls saved, is not so good in miracles, but he has other gifts. He's a faithful cook.
Yes.
He's faithful in fixing, like a handyman, fixing the house. He's faithful in teaching the children. He's faithful in whatever he's doing. He's good for little. Maybe he's a crippled brother. But in the little he does good.
Mm-hmm. Put his heart.
You understand?
Yes. That's good.
I gave you a scripture before. 1 Peter 2:5.
Yes, it's true. 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
Okay, verse 9.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
So there is so much here. It means
you
are chosen.
Jesus. Wow.
You are a royal
priesthood.
In other words, don't worry if there is no religion that makes you a pastor or a priest. Don't worry.
Royal and priest.
God royally has appointed you to be a priest, okay, and a holy nation. That means a saint, okay, and a special person to proclaim the praises. That means prophesy.
Thank you, Lord.
So you're a prophet, a saint, you are holy, and you're a priest, and you're chosen. That is, if you decide to accept these gifts, to accept this call, you can reject them by your unfaithfulness. You can accept them by your faithfulness. It's our decision. It's not God's.
Amen.
God has chosen the 12. One decided to be a Judah. Well, it was prophesied. God knew, but it still was Judah's decision. It was not God's. God just knows what decision is going to be. Ananias and Sapphira, it wasn't God who decided what they were supposed to be hypocrites. They decided. So we decide if we want to be faithful or unfaithful. We decide if we want to live for Jesus and die for Jesus, if we want to run away as a coward.
Amen.
We decide.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
Let's go to Hebrews 5, 12 to 14.
Hebrews 5:12. For when for the time you should to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
You see the point, yes?
Actually, it's what you said before, discernment.
Yeah.
Discerning good from evil.
See, this is why now, see, Christianity is doing so bad in the world, because it seems like we are training people to become handicapped instead of soldiers and disciples.
Sense?
Well, the training you get, you go to a Bible school, you can go for 5 years, and all you learn is just to sit down.
Hmm.
You didn't learn to go around from city to city, like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, say, go from village to village, persecute one city, go to another city, and they don't receive you, shake off the dust from your feet. So it's like Jesus was training people to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was training his disciple for the day he was going to be killed, for when they were going to be on their own. The time is come, you shall be on your own. John 14, 15, 16, and 17. It was a training to survive.
Yeah.
In what's coming now, the Christianity is going to be destroyed all over the world, because Christianity now is in the same level like the Christians were in Iraq when ISIS attacked them, when the Islamic State started destroying them. Okay, and now there's no Christianity left in northern Iraq because they were not trained to survive in time of tribulations. I mean, there are spies everywhere. I mean, the spies can teach you how to survive in situation of emergency. I mean, there are American spies in Iran. There are Iranian spies in America. There are American spies in Russia, Russian spies in Germany, German spies somewhere else. Spies
yes.
do that.
Yes, yes.
So in some ways, like Jesus and his disciples, that's the training that they had, that Jesus gave, like to hide and run, to hide and operate, to hide and work, to hide and witness, to hide and evangelize. The Christians, they were hiding catacombs. All right, but the Christians today are trained to do nothing. The only thing they teach in Bible school is the knowledge, fill your head with knowledge, and then sit down and warm up benches.
Mm-hmm.
The only way they know how to evangelize when they get out of Bible school is to go from church to church to church to church to church. Basically, they keep watering where it's already watered. They keep preaching salvation to people who heard it 10,000 times when the world is going to hell. So it's like this is hardly, you can hardly call it Christianity. And that's why the world's Christianity will be destroyed completely, except the bride will hide.
What does it mean in Hebrews, we read, that you are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat? What is strong meat?
Strong meat is what I just telling you right now.
Uh-huh.
The Antichrist is coming, destruction is coming. You need to be ready to forsake your family, they don't want to follow.
Okay, and
he
it's
like Lot's wife to forsake his wife to go do God's will. Jesus to forsake his mother Mary to go do God's will. He said in Matthew 19:29, he said, he that forsakes wife and children and family and father and mother shall receive 100-fold, 100 times. So the time comes, you have to forsake the people that love you and you love them, but they don't want to follow Jesus.
Does that mean that the Christians are not able?
That's an example. There are stronger meat than this.
Yeah. Does that mean that the Christians of today are not able to receive this kind of message, strong meat, but they are in need of milk? Instead of being teachers, they still need to be taught.
Yeah, see, this problem that they have today, it was also in the Bible. Here, Paul is rebuking the Hebrews, the Christian Jews, is saying that the time has come that you ought to be teachers, and now you need milk again. You are unskilled in the word of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Antichrist comes, these guys are going to be destroyed. They're going to be like sitting ducks.
Hmm.
They're going to be like those Christians when Lenin took over in Russia. Those Christians in Iraq, they've been destroyed, or in Nigeria, they've been destroyed day by day.
Yeah,
right now, there are some soldiers in Nigeria that are being court-martialed because they just surrendered, throw their weapons away. They just walked away. They didn't want to risk their lives to fight against Boko Haram. And those guys kidnapped girls. They raped them. They sold them as slaves. They're taking over areas of Nigeria because the soldier, Christian soldier, they just were cowards. They were ashamed to be Nigerian, ashamed to be soldier. And that's a Boko Haram spitting them in the faces. And those guys are just shaking in the boots.
Hmm.
So they're court-martialing. some of these soldiers who are fighting for Christianity. In heaven, it's going to be like that, that the Christians were ashamed to stand up for Jesus and even die for Jesus when it was necessary. Jesus is going to be ashamed of them. You understand?
Yes, yes.
That's it. So you want to read another scripture, okay. Revelation 2, 26.
Revelation 2, 26. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations.
See, when the kingdom of God comes, Christianity will divide into categories. There will be the Christians who were ashamed of Jesus. They will be treated harshly. They will be chastised by the Lord. It says that in Luke 12. It says, they that knew the master's will, the servant that knew the master's will, did it not. So he was beaten with many stripes. But the servant didn't know and didn't do it, shall be beaten with fewer stripes. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a division.
Yes.
All right, and the division you can see right now. It's a division you see every day. Wherever you go, you see the Christian doing nothing and somebody doing something. Usually 99.99 doing nothing and one guy here or there evangelizing. Serving the Lord is not sitting around Sunday morning singing, because that's not what Jesus did.
Yes.
Amen?
I would like to take a break for a song, and then I want to ask you, Joseph, what does it take to become leaders and teachers? Like we read in Hebrews, God expects us to be teachers, not to be in need of milk. What does it take to become these teachers and these leaders? How do we become? But first we listen to a song, and then we hear you after.
Take my hands, they are yours to use. Take my feet, I will follow you. Fill my mouth, give me words to pray. Break my heart with what brings you pain. Here in this moment, I can hear your spirit call. So I'm coming as your servant, surrendering to you now. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Savior, I'll take your message to the world. Here am I.
Your message.
continue our program here at Radio Blast. And as I was saying before, Joseph, I want to ask you, what does it take for us to become teachers and leaders? How do we do it?
Well, we just have to have a mentality of soldier-like disciples, not just silly sheep that always need to be led. Sheep are famous for being silly. Like a farmer can tell you, a shepherd who has real sheep can tell you, if a sheep jumps from a cliff, all the other sheep will follow. The sheep are just silly. They cannot survive without a shepherd.
It's true.
So either we become a church of pastors, otherwise we're not going to make it. No pastors in competition with each other who gets more glory, not at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But like Jesus did with his 12, they were not in competition, they were just working together. Okay, the time it will come when the leaders are not going to be around, I'm not going to be around. So I'm going to trust, I'm an old guy. I'm going to trust that you young ones can carry on what we are doing now much better than now. You're strong, young, full of energy. You can always come to me and say, Daddy, what am I supposed to do with your pacifier in the mouth? It's time to take your pacifier out of your mouth.
Amen.
Recognize you are the Holy Spirit. Recognize you are the same Jesus I have, the same Holy Spirit I have,
yes,
the same talents I have, or better, and get going. That's what I did. Whatever little talents I have is because I believed in it, I exercised these talents when they were not working, when I didn't see results, when everybody was cursing me, everybody was criticizing me, when I didn't see any healing, I didn't see salvation, I kept going until I saw these things.
Amen, amen. Amen. So it's like really taking initiative, taking responsibility, even if in the beginning you're going to do many mistakes. Because those mistakes will teach you the right way and you're going to grow and learn. But just keep going for Jesus and take initiative. Don't expect to be led and told what to do, but take initiative.
Take initiative.
Become a leader.
Let us not be like a bag of potatoes that people have to move us around by the weight. Like, let's go, okay, let me look around. Oh, look at that. There is a gap over there. I'm going to fill it. It's called Calvary. I'm going to go there and die for Jesus. In the material and the spirit. Oh, look, this house is dirty. Let me give a hand and clean it. Oh, look, somebody needs to cook. I'll volunteer. Who wants to go witnessing? I'll be the first.
Yes.
That kind of church. There are churches today that are arguing about who's going to sweep the floor. That's ridiculous. How about dying on Calvary?
Really?
Forget sweeping the floor. Close the cemetery. Hit the street like Jesus, okay? So what we need also, every Christian has a family usually.
Yes.
And we need to bring an atmosphere of discipleship into our family. Like, get people get up in the morning, read the word. Like, in the morning, I walk around, I see, this morning I saw one of my small children, they were there in bed, they sit looking at the wall. I say, listen, why don't you redeem the time? Time is short, the days are evil. Memorize. I say, yes, Daddy. So I go around like a captain here, and I check that everybody is doing what they're supposed to do. Otherwise, I remind them. In the morning here, nobody gets up without memorizing, reviewing scriptures.
Yes.
And that keeps the atmosphere of the house orbitating around Jesus, not around my selfishness or yours.
Yes, amen.
So bring a discipleship atmosphere in your family.
Amen.
Okay, so that's an important point. Also, another point is memorizing, constantly brainwashing ourselves in the Word of God. No worldly TV, sports, politics, drink beer, and let the world watch the world news until they depress you and go to bed depressed. Never go to bed with this kind of garbage. Amen?
Yes.
So it's like, you can drink a glass of wine when you eat. I'm not saying you cannot drink a beer or a glass of wine, but just don't get drunk. Just don't make that your God.
Yes.
Sometimes some sheep come and visit us, and they ask me, is it okay to have a glass of wine? I say, it's okay, but after we finish reading the Bible, just before going to bed. You know, they asked me, there's some brethren that came here to visit us. I said, it's okay. The Italians, so they drink a glass of wine when they eat.
Yeah.
I do too. And I said, yeah, we do, but we do after the Bible, after we pray. In other words, when we start to turn off.
Yes, yes.
All right, and take it easy. Because as you go to bed, the phone might ring, somebody needs an emergency prayer, is dying, or has a cancer, or an accident. We are 24 hours doctor. If you drink a glass of wine when you eat, don't drink so much that you can operate anymore.
Right. So you need to be always sober and vigilant.
So this is an important memorizing. Also, another thing that our church needs to learn, and I suggest every church, with all respect, I'm not here to teach anybody, but I'm telling you a truth. I'm not your teacher. I'm not your pastor. I'm basically Well, I am the pastor of a lot of people following the part of our church. They ask for it.
Yes.
But a lot of people, some people listen, maybe they're not in our church. But I would suggest in every church, even if they're not my church, that you follow the suggestions, because you're not following me, you're following the teachings. And as you noticed, I'm giving you scripture. So you're really following the scripture, not following me. So you don't need to go around and say, I'm doing this and this because Brother Joseph said no.
Mm-hmm.
No. I want you to go around saying, because the Bible says, and I don't want you to believe anything I'm saying unless you see it based on the Word, on the Bible, on the rock. You're not going to go there in a Calvary because Brother Joseph thought it was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go because it's written. Got that?
Yes.
Look, give me a scripture. Acts 5, it talks about the witnessing. How Acts 5:42 is like what we need to do in our church is all the time, whenever the Lord offers us an opportunity, we need to do evangelism. Woe unto you listening, or unto me speaking, if the Holy Spirit gives us a feeling to witness to somebody, and we say, no, I'm ashamed of Jesus. No, I have no time for Jesus. No, I'm too lazy for Jesus. Woe unto us. That's our attitude. God can call us once a day, twice a day, once in a couple of days. There are times when God says, I want you to talk to that person. And you approach, you give him a gospel tract, or you start talking about this and that, and then maybe you pray for the healing. Praying for the healing is a great way to get them saved. Everybody wants to be healed.
Hmm.
Okay, just don't do like I did when I began. In the beginning, I was stopping people in the street in a wheelchair. Stop. Can I pray for you? They were getting, oh, what's going on? So I try to use little tricks like, oh, hello, where are you from?
Make this friends, yes.
Make friends, and then casually say, can I pray for your sickness? Do you have Acts 5:42?
Yes. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Amen. So they ceased not.
That's
the sign
nice.
Says they ceased not.
Amen.
The problem is on church, they never started. But true disciple doesn't stop. And when you start, you don't want to stop if you do it right. Just like a guy is into drugs, he doesn't want to stop. We are into something better than drugs, that's Jesus. When you start with
Amen.
Jesus, you know, it's like when you marry the most beautiful girls in the world, well, you can't because I got that one. Like you love her so much that you don't want to stop. You want to stay married with a girl. All right, you love her so much. She's the perfect wife. She's just God's mercy on you. So that is when we meet Jesus, when we receive Jesus, when we go witnessing. Jesus said in Matthew 13, the kingdom of God is like a pearl. A merchant looking for pearls. So when he finds a pearl, he sells everything he has and he buys a pearl. We have to sell everything. Jesus sold everything. Jesus found us, which were more like a piece of garbage than a pearl. And he sold everything he had. He sold his life. He died
true.
On the cross.
He
sold his blood.
He
bought us.
Amen.
When we find the kingdom of God, we find God's will. We need to sell everything, brethren. Okay, if you own a car, fine, but it's not yours. It belongs to Jesus. You have a wife, it's not your wife. In heaven, it's not your wife.
Mm-hmm.
No marriage in heaven, it's Jesus' wife. And you're just the deacon of your wife. You are here, you're called by God to be the deacon of your wife, to make her happy, to take her out for a dinner, to give her a flower. You think my wife is not here because she's going to remind me that she doesn't see many flowers. Parenthesis closed.
Can you put in practice?
I hope she doesn't listen to this. No, I really definitely not a good sample of a husband. I have ways to go, but at least I know the direction, for God's sake. All right? So if you don't have much money like me, well, just take her to a place for a little snack. Buy some little pack of chips. You know, as you walk around, you must find some flowers here and there if you don't have money to go buy an orchid or to find the most expensive flower. Just get a flower from the field. It's
yes.
probably better than go waste money in a shop. Did you read Acts 5:42?
Yes.
Okay, so they did not cease to teach and preach Jesus Christ. If we stop teaching Jesus, we are traitors. We are ashamed of Jesus. And God doesn't care what excuse we have. There does not exist an excuse in the world to stop preaching Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And when you stop preaching Jesus, if you never started, well, it's high time we start. If we haven't started. If we have started, we need to make sure that we don't fall in the, like Judas, and we stop doing it. Judas, what did he do? He stopped doing it. He was doing healing, was raising the dead, everything. He stopped doing it. Understand? Next, I want to talk about children.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Okay, what's coming now? We need, if we are children, we need to train them to be disciples. Can you give me a scripture? Proverbs 22:6.
Proverbs
22:6.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
You got that?
Yes.
It's like a scripture. He will not depart. You hear testimony. I heard the testimony of a guy who was into Satanism and crime. He ended up in jail. He didn't believe in Jesus. He didn't this. And in jail, he remembered that his mother taught him about Jesus. I don't think he was even saved. But that teaching about Jesus, he came up. The Holy Spirit brought it up in jail. He got saved. He got saved. He got out of jail eventually. He was happily married, Christian family. Teaching about Jesus when he was a child. He denied Jesus, forsook Jesus. He went for his selfishness, everything you want, violence, everything. But in jail. But the time came when he reached the end of his rope, in jail, desperate, when he finally had time to think. And he wasn't following the devil anymore, do this and do that, he needed money, drugs. No, he was in jail. He had time to think. The Holy Spirit took the little thought. Do you remember your mother taught you about Jesus? And he got saved. Train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Give me another scripture, Deuteronomy 6.
Deuteronomy.
6-9.
Deuteronomy 6:6.
A commandment. This is not good suggestions but from Brother Joseph. Who cares? A suggestion of Brother Joseph. This is a commandment of God. Woe to me and woe to us if we don't do it. Go.
And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
You got that? As you walk, when you get up.
So all the time and everywhere.
When you go to bed at night. When you walk and when you don't walk. When you eat, when you don't eat. We have a habit here that when we eat together, it's like a holy time. Everybody's there. They'll come for the food. They'll come for the belly. They'll come. But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, or by spaghetti alone, or hamburger alone. Depends on what you eat. But by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Amen.
Tell you, you can live without food. You can fast a month if you have to. People have. But you cannot live without the word of God. You stop one day listening to God, you become dry. You stop a week, you become half dead. You stop a month, you're already weird. You're already divorced.
Yes.
You already beat up somebody. Maybe you killed somebody. Who knows? Understand? So every day we must study the word of God. Number one. The next what? Joshua 1:8. Meditate on the word of God. Then what?
Amen.
Obey the word of God. Okay, if you don't study, meditate and obey, we are already dead. If we don't learn to hear the word of God, the only word that we follow is the TV, the politicians, the bankers, the sports, and the games, all this garbage, we already half dead. Woe to us if we go to bed at night, all we think is the pretty girls with the miniskirts on TV. Woe to us. So nothing wrong with the girl. I mean, God created the beautiful girls. But we're supposed to go to bed with our mind on Jesus.
You know,
besides, the next student could be a wife, and maybe she's 40, maybe 50, maybe 60. And she's not like those guys, those girls in miniskirts on TV. So stay away, because those things will distract you from your wife or your husband. Tune in. That wife that is not the beauty she used to be anymore, she at least she has a good thing, is putting up with you or me. You must give her the credit.
Amen.
Bring the flower. Take her out for a little pizza once in a while. A member of the Joseph, yes, sir.
I want to ask you, you just said to hear from the Lord. And all these things that we're talking about today, hearing from the Lord and becoming a leader and having initiative, all these things, they don't come naturally. And if there is no, if there is nobody around you to teach you, to train you, how do you make it to learn by yourself? I mean, I know there are many...
You make it.
Many listeners who write to us, they are actually disgusted by the experiences they had in the churches, and they are just alone. They love Jesus, they read the Bible, but they are alone. They don't have a community, a church, a pastor. Who's going to teach them, train them?
If you're in a dead church, first of all, if you're in a good church, please stay. If you have a good pastor that goes witnessing, evangelizing, reaching the lost, he doesn't fill his pockets with money, stay there. If a pastor says, follow me as I follow Christ, stay there. Give a hand. But of course, if you're in one of the many churches that are just a bunch of Pharisees and mercenary, get out as fast as you can. Okay, so the point is...
Who's going to teach you?
Like, who's going to teach you? Well, first of all, I give you a scripture. Let's speak with the scripture here. Go to 1 John 2:20 and 27.
1 John 2.
Yes.
20.
Yeah, this scripture is the answer in case you don't have around good teachers, okay? Mm-hmm. If you are in a good church, thank God there are some. Okay, thank God there are still not very many. We are like the salt of the earth, very few. There are not many good churches around, okay? Okay, so basically, try to look for a good. But if you don't have, like Jesus said in John 16, they kick you out of the synagogues. The time comes who kills you, thinks he does a service to God, okay? And because of that, because they kick you out of some churches and condemn you to hell, Jesus put a spare tire. You know there is a spare wheel in the Bible?
There is?
Yes. There is a spare tire. You know, when the car tire blows up, it's happened to me a few times, I have to change the tire.
Yes.
Okay, so when your car blows up, that they kick you out in their church, from their church, and you are alone, they condemn you to hell already because you're not Pentecostal, you're not Baptist, and you're a Catholic. So to hell, so there's a spare tire.
And which is?
Okay, well, keep a finger on that. Go to, well, you know by memory, Matthew 18:20, what does it say? You know that, memorize
when
that.
When two or three gather together in my name?
Yes.
There am I in the midst of them.
Exactly. So that's the spare tire. They kick you out of a church. Okay, so you can get together with another person and you're a church. It can be under a tree. It doesn't have to be the holy, blah, blah, holy, stony building with the stony hearts.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have to be the beautiful building with a golden cross on top. It can be under on the Mount of Olives in the same trees where Jesus was.
Yes.
Okay, it can be anywhere. Whether there are two people, you're a church. One, no, you're a believer. Church is only plural.
Amen.
Because church in the Greek, ecclesia, means congregation. You cannot congregate with yourself. So, you understand? Okay, so you like this prayer, Will?
Yes.
They kick you out. Now, what's the point? Go back to 1 John 2:20 and 27.
But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. 27.
Okay, remember the point here, okay? The point is, if you have nobody to teach you, what do you do?
To become a leader.
To become a leader, what do you do? Well, you have to learn like Elijah, Jeremiah. Who taught those guys? Who taught Ezekiel?
God.
God.
Wow.
Okay, of course, if you start following God soon, God, in this day of age, there are Christians around, not many. I'm talking about obedient Christians. But if you seek, you'll find. Okay, like I didn't find many, so what I did, I found you. I evangelized you and a few others. I evangelized my wife, and then I married her. I was so successful evangelizing my wife. After she took the first step, God bless her. So it's like the best people to work with are the people you evangelize. People write to me and say, oh, please, I want some brethren here in this area. I say, well, some area we put them together when we can. But in some area we don't have.
Yes.
So we say, go witnessing, go evangelizing.
Yes.
Make a church, get some disciples, convert some people. So verse 27.
1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in him.
See, what he's saying here in the first epistle of John, he was dealing with false teachers, understand?
So he's
telling them, get rid of the false teachers. You can do without false teachers. If you read the epistles, he's talking about false teachers. In fact, 1 John 4, it talks about try the spirits. Not every spirit is of God. So they were false teachers. John was not around. So he said, you know what? You have the Holy Spirit. Get rid of these guys. Get rid of them. They're just mercenaries. They just want your money. They want a congregation, or they want the power. They want something. Amen?
Amen. So basically what we saw in 1 John 2 is that the Holy Spirit will teach us.
Exactly.
When there is no teacher, the Holy Spirit is the teacher.
Exactly, exactly. But if you follow the Holy Spirit and you go, for example, evangelizing, like I told you, all right? No, you know, it's not that they always you have to go to a certain place for so many hours. Sometimes you do. But a lot of times, just whenever you do shopping, you walk through a park, or you go, just keep your eyes open, binoculars pointed. Mm-hmm. Look for the potential.
And you know, I'm thinking, you mentioned about Elijah and Moses and all these big people of God. Who taught them? Who trained them?
Exactly.
And you said God directly did. But we have the advantage of having the Bible.
Exactly.
We have the New Testament, the Old Testament. We can learn from it everything we need.
We have it.
It's
we have
easier
it.
For
we
us.
We have it easier. Look, why did you read Acts 1:8?
Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
So you see, you receive power when you get the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So this power will help you evangelize. You don't have to have Bible knowledge. You can start just with the love of Jesus and just with one scripture.
Thank you, Lord.
Just one scripture, John 3:16, John 1:12, get them saved.
Amen.
All right, and from there you can start your church. And then eventually, like, God is not going to, he will never leave you alone. He will always lead you to, if you're looking for a church, you'll find, seek and you shall find. People write to us and say, Brother Joseph, you got out of the church, I got out of the church, my pastor didn't let me evangelize. It's okay, then get out. In that case.
Yes.
If the pastor is good, stay. The pastor, they're just warming up church benches once a week, I think you should get out and go witnessing.
Seek and you shall find.
And they write and say, can we join your church? Can we say, yeah, we just double check that they are Christians.
Yes.
Okay, because in the end time, you have to check some people are false.
Amen.
So we do check. And some, we discover that they will know exactly who they were presenting them to be.
Hmm.
So, but our arms are open. Right now, we have some brethren from Italy. They took the plane. They are here. They're here for 10 days. And we eat together. We have a great time.
Yes.
And so they came to double check. Okay, so you understand, when you see the Holy Spirit, you get power. You know the scripture, look, Isaiah 30:21.
Isaiah 30:21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left.
See, now we are entering the end time, and that's why we need to be a church of pastors. We need to be everyone in our church and to be able to hear God's voice. And it's not difficult.
Wow, it's important.
It's not the pastor's job to hear God's voice for everybody. How do you know the pastor is not a false prophet? Like,
yeah,
there are many in the churches today.
Yes.
You need to check on the pastors. All right? I'm here on the computer sometime. I welcome my wife. Come and check on me. Make sure I don't watch something wrong. By
yes.
God's grace, I don't think I do. But I like my wife to come here and we make jokes. You know, it's wonderful. The same way, you need to check on your pastor.
Hmm.
I mean, in my house, I have children asking me questions. Why did you say that? Why did you say this? I had the brethren. Like, you can explain. That is a little bit dark. I don't understand. So I explain, it becomes clear. And if it doesn't become clear, then I need to work on my clarity. In this sense. So,
yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So you need to learn. It's very essential that we each learn to hear God's voice, because the Antichrist comes, the mark of the beast comes, and sometimes we are separated. We've been separated sometimes, just some time ago, we were behind two different borders and because of passport problem. And some of us were on this side of the border, others on the other side of the border. We have to hear from God what
mm-hmm.
to do.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So praise the Lord. Another scripture you want?
Sure.
Okay, John 14:12. So we are supposed to be a church of pastors because we are called. Jesus called us to do what? John 14:12.
Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this he will do, because I go to my Father.
You understand, we're called to do greater works than Jesus.
Oh, how can that be?
We're not in quality, but in quantity.
It's amazing.
You understand, because he was only here for 3.5 years. We're here for longer than that. All right. And so Greta works. Why? Because he says, I go to the Father. What does that mean? It means that then he comes back through the Holy Spirit and he comes in our hearts. And we will do greater works because we have Jesus.
He will do them.
Yeah, he will do the works.
He will do the works.
Exactly. It's always Jesus in this time. Yes. We'll do greater works because we have Jesus. Sometimes you have to explain the scripture a little bit. Okay?
Yes.
So in this time, so we need to be pastors, each one of us, because we are called to do greater works than Jesus, because Jesus is in our heart. I hope nobody needs that explanations. It's not because we're better than Jesus, but because
Amen.
We have Jesus.
Amen.
So because we are called to do greater works, therefore we have to be a pastor,
yes.
as a priest, a saint. We have to be a worker of miracle. And if you haven't learned yet, if we haven't learned yet, we better get busy practicing because we will need it. We cannot face the Antichrist if we don't learn this. We cannot overcome the mark of the beast if we don't learn this. And we cannot overcome death if we don't learn this. How do you overcome death, Angie?
By not loving your life until death.
By dying. That's how you overcome death.
Amen.
How did Jesus overcome death? By Calvary. All right, that's a scripture. It's in Revelation 12:11. You overcome death, you overcome the devil by being willing to die. Give me another scripture, Matthew 10:1.
Yes. Matthew 10:1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases.
So in this time, we are called to have power over devils, power over sickness. We are called.
Amen.
And see, Jesus said in John 14:12, he that believes in me shall do greater works. So if we don't do greater works, it's because we don't believe in Jesus.
Hmm.
It doesn't mean we're not Christian. It means we're just half dead. Half dead, understand? Or sitting down warming up church benches. Oh, holy, 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 what?
Yes.
singing for what? Singing. If you don't sing as you go evangelize, as you go do the work, as you go win the world, as you go overcome the devil, as you go do healing, as you go do miracles, as you go raise the dead and raise the spiritually dead, then your singing is good for nothing.
You are singing
like the Pharisees used to sing. We need to sing like Jesus.
There are many Christians who don't do this kind of miracles, healing the sick and casting out demons or other great works. Does that mean that they are half asleep?
No, I didn't do miracles. I didn't do great works for many, many years. Of course, I try to keep myself busy every day evangelizing.
Yes.
No, as long as your heart is straight, that you try to do what you can, all right, it's okay. God looks at your heart. But I tell you, everybody can do something. If you're a cripple, just cripple around for Jesus. If you're blind, use one eye for Jesus. If you are paralyzed, you can witness to the nurse. You can evangelize the guy, the doctor
good.
Comes and check your leg or something.
That's good.
You know, tell the guy comes, you're half dead, they say, how are you? Well, I'm going to heaven, I'm fine.
Amen.
You can always do something.
Yes. So we all have the potential to do these great works if we just, you mentioned earlier, receive the Holy Spirit, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, have the courage to start putting it in practice, start walking for Jesus.
Amen. And anybody can do it. Look, I was never called to be one of the 144,000, but it's a good standard to try to live by.
Hmm.
You know, God never told me I'm the best pastor in the world, which I'm not, but that's the standard. Try to do the best you can. The fact that you're not perfect, that doesn't mean, okay, I just live like a garbage.
Yeah.
So we should always have a... That's how the little child that learns to walk, he falls down, but his standard is to walk normal. It doesn't say, okay, I guess I fall down all the time. I guess I just keep falling forever. Okay, I'm not a good evangelist. I'm not a good this. I'm not a good that. I'm not too good in praying for the sea. So I guess that's the way I want to stay forever.
Hmm.
Because what you want to do, you will get. See, when you say believe in something, it's like saying that's what I want to do.
Yes.
So you are determined.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So the 144,000, we read in Revelation chapter 7, chapter 14. Look, why did you read that chapter? Revelation 14. All right.
Yes.
1 and then just 4.
1 and 4.
Yeah.
Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. Verse 4. These are the ones who are not defiled with woman, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruit to God and to the Lamb.
Amen. So, it's talking about spiritual virginity, of course.
Yeah.
And these follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Okay. So, That's our standard. We need to be like that. We need to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. What's the Lamb?
Jesus.
It's the Word.
Yes.
Jesus, the Word. In other words, follow the Word. Get up in the morning, study the Word. Now, what is it here that I'm not doing too good? Today I want to do better. Mm-hmm. Let me study the Word. We should stop reading the Word like it's on dead, the litany for the funerals. Oh, it's a nice funeral. Oh, this was such a nice guy. He was such a perfect husband. The wife is there shaking her head. This time, we should stop reading the Bible. Like, okay, I read the Bible, did my duty. No, you didn't do your duty. The Pharisees were reading the Bible. The only way, the only right way to read the Bible is to read and obey it. It's not to read and then go to the world.
Amen.
It's not to read and keep being a Pharisee. It's to read and let it change us. Am I witnessing enough? Am I evangelizing enough? Am I loving the Lord enough? Am I loving my wife enough? Am I loving my children enough? Am I loving the sheep enough? Am I obeying the commandments of Jesus enough? Am I? The answer is probably, not perfectly. Sometimes the answer will be not at all. Sometimes will be yes, but you could do better. So we should always try to improve ourselves. Not say, let me pat myself on the back. Yeah. God is lucky to have me. Why? I read the Bible every day. So who cares if you read the Bible? Are you practicing it?
Yes, amen.
I mean, it's like the soldier goes on the battlefield, and instead of shooting the enemy, he keeps reading the constitution of the country every day. That's what's happening in Nigeria, and those demon-possessed are taking over, kidnapping girls, raping, selling them as slaves, while the soldier that they're shaking in the boots, so get out, you're not a soldier. They're having them court-martialed right now in Nigeria, a soldier who didn't want to fight. Understand?
Yes.
So our standard is the 144,000, to say the least. All right, to be like Jesus, to say the most.
Thank you, Lord.
We have Jesus in our
Amen.
Heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So,
in Jesus' name.
Another point I want to make is that our job is not to lift up ourselves, but to teach others. Well, give me a scripture on teaching others. So 2 Timothy 2:2.
2 Timothy.
This is an important point.
2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Understand? So we need to keep teaching others who can teach others.
Pass it down the line.
The best people you can evangelize are the students, university students. The school teachers are the best in the world because a school teacher could do a lot of damage in the devil's kingdom.
Hmm.
Nothing wrong evangelizing the people in pension or folks home. We're going to go to a folks home ourselves.
We
are just preparing these days to go. So nothing against the old people, but the thing is that we should aim priority to the young, to the youth. Why? That's what Jesus did. They didn't get together 12 old folks. They could hardly walk, and they needed 12 stretchers and wheelchairs.
Yes.
Yeah, of course, reach the young.
Because they can keep going and reaching others.
Yeah, reach the leaders,
yes.
Reach the people who can walk, who can talk, who can think. Not the old people who just have a brain to think. The old people, they will be reached by the youth that you train. Understand? The youth you train, they reach the old people.
And that's good.
But if you reach the old people, that's a dead end. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't go to the old folks and just love them up. But that's okay.
Yes,
but that would have been the end of his ministry. Jesus went to the potential.
Amen, amen.
Okay, so it's okay to go to the jungle and teach the cannibals and stuff. But you also have to think, these guys, who can they reach? But if you reach the potential, the strong, the young, the youth, the courageous, they can go to the jungle eventually.
Yes, amen.
And that's how the jungles got reached, the savages got reached.
In fact, that's
because
our
Jesus started with the potential, with the young, with the youth, with the strong, who taught, evangelized the world, and eventually also the jungle got reached.
In fact, that's our greatest reward, and it's our greatest joy, when so many brethren who are following the radio are writing in testimonies from their evangelization. They tell us the hardships, but also the victories, how they go evangelizing. Like, for example, in this summer that just finished, they went on the beach for holidays. And some of the radio listeners, they brought on the beach the evangelization tracts that they downloaded and printed from the radio. And they just pulled it out of the suitcases and started evangelizing on the beach.
Please, everybody, download our tracts from the radio. See if you like them, and if you do, spread them around like machine guns. Now, I'm not saying stand on the street corner, give them a flyer. They just litter the streets, just when you talk to people.
Yes, yes, somebody special. They were writing in, telling us testimonies how they prayed with people, how they evangelized them, talking about Jesus, even though the relatives, they were against, and the relatives made bad comments like, oh, not again those tracts, even on the beach.
We heard of husbands who rebuked their wives, and they kept going. Yes. Because they were faithful first to the first husband, Jesus.
Amen.
Second, the carnal husband. The carnal husband sometimes, or the carnal wife, doesn't agree with the spiritual husband, Jesus Christ. Well, in that case, you have to keep loving them, but keep following Jesus.
Yes.
Lot has to leave his wife behind and get out of Sodom. And then, whenever they decided to climb the mountain, we'll appear.
But I want to say that, like, 90% of the people who write in, they tell us how they evangelize or they ask counsel how to do it. They're all growing so wonderfully into being this kind of pastors and leaders, into being active for Jesus, into passing down the line the teaching. Like teach others who can teach others, really passing it down.
If we would have concentrated ourselves on lifting up our denominations, okay, it's like we wouldn't have accomplished whatever the Lord is accomplishing. These people have not gotten trained. These people follow us. They would not be witnessing. They would not. But because instead of lifting up our religion, which we don't have, thank God, instead of make it a, how do you say, a cult of personality to Brother Joseph, who cares about Brother Joseph, we lifted up Jesus. Okay,
amen.
People say, how come we don't know your face? Well, they don't care about me. I don't care. I really don't care. For one thing, I don't want to give it to the Antichrist. Second of all, don't worry about me. I'm here. I'm just a finger. What is in my face? It's a finger pointing Jesus. That's my job.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Understand? I'm here to lift up Jesus. Like it says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Christ's sake. We are not here preaching ourselves, Paul said. We preach Jesus Christ. Amen? So we're not here. There are already too many lifting the denomination, lifting up Protestants and Catholics and blah, blah. We don't care. We think that that's not even scriptural. Jesus never sent anybody go into all the world and lift up your religion. That's stupid.
Amen.
Okay, we need to lift up Jesus. That's why Christianity is not going very far, stuck in the mud, in the denominational mud. We need to lift up Jesus here. Amen?
Amen.
Okay,
Jesus
so
name.
I guess the last point I'd like to talk about is a communion with Jesus.
That's the most important.
To be pastor, to be a church of pastors, everyone here has to work to become the bride of Christ.
Yes.
And that is obtained by having communion with Jesus. You give me a scripture?
Yes.
I like one about the bride in Philippians 3:7.
3:7?
Yeah.
But what things were gained to me...
Yeah, until 15, keep reading.
But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained, or I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Amen.
Amen. So everything that was good for Paul, he counted a loss.
Yes.
For Christ. So, all our money, our car, our job, our career, our diploma, our this and our that, okay, our intelligence, our smart talky, it's bothering us. When you see in First King toward the end, chapter 18, 19, over there, Elijah went to Elisha and called him to follow him. is like Elisha, before following Elijah, burned his plow. Why? He didn't want something to go back to. He had an expensive plow. It was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. It must have been a gigantic plow. Well, those days must have been something comparable with the biggest tractor they have today.
Probably, yes.
It must have been a hunk of a guy, this Elisha. So, well, he burned it and sacrificed the oxen. So he couldn't go back anymore. Imagine how his family felt.
Yeah, at least save the animals.
Just like when somebody wants to be disciples, a disciple of Jesus forsakes his university, or something that happened to you, forsakes his job, forsakes his money, forsakes his salary. I mean, that's like burning the plow. Showing God, I'm trusting you.
It's like Jesus asked the rich young ruler to sell everything and follow him, and he wouldn't. Like, forsake all, abandon everything.
Mark chapter 10, the rich young ruler said, what can I do to have eternal life? Just say, give your money to the poor. Because in his case, money was the idol.
Yes.
Other case could be pornography, could be something bad, something good. It could be a marriage, it could be a family, it could be a child.
So that's
could be an Isaac. You have to put your Isaac on the altar.
And that's what Elisha did.
That's what Elisha did. He burned his plow.
Wow.
So he couldn't, when the devil come and tempt him to go back to the world and serve the world, he said, no, I don't have a plow anymore. I must fight. Even if I have to spit blood. Yeah. Even if I have to proceed at the advance on my knees. Sometimes we have to do that.
Amen.
Sometimes the things around us are spiritually so foggy, we don't see a familiar way in the spirit. And so we get on our knees, and we keep advancing, and we keep advancing. And the devil throwing bombs, trying to destroy us, but we keep advancing. Eventually, the angels come and help us.
Amen.
They come in that Gethsemane, and
Thank you, Jesus.
Comfort us, and they help us. And then we finally accept the crucifixion, whatever that can be, and we get the victory. But it overcomes, Revelation 2:26, it says, I give him power over the nations. Amen?
Amen.
Look, let's read the scripture correctly. I quoted before. 2 Corinthians 4:2. About preaching Jesus and ourselves.
4:2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully.
That's what's happening in many, many churches. They're handling the word of God deceitfully.
Yes.
They preach the Bible, but just to get control over a congregation, to say, oh, I have a congregation, or 500 people, or 5,000 people, I'm a big shot.
Yeah.
Well, you're good for nothing if you're not lifting up Jesus, if you're not teaching them what to do at the same time.
Continue. Amen.
And?
But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God.
Yes, keep going.
But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them.
Be careful, people read the Bible and don't obey it.
Yeah.
Anybody read the Bible and not obeying it, for sure is not understanding it. Because you understand the Bible, you understand it by obedience.
Amen.
If you don't obey, there is no anointing of the Holy Spirit. Next.
For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake.
You got that? We don't preach ourselves, our denomination, our religion, my name or your name. We preach Jesus. That's exactly the opposite what the denomination, the sects are doing today. They're all preaching a different sect, different denomination. My pastor's a big shot, etc. We need to preach Jesus. All right? I don't care about preaching me.
Thank you, Lord.
If you preach me, God will have to humble me. You have to say, oh, Joseph is so good. And Joseph is nothing.
It's true.
Nothing.
God does that.
Anybody knows me, they know I'm nothing. It's only Jesus.
Yes.
Okay, when you see me like I'm not walking in the Spirit, I'm just a guy like anybody else, I'm worse.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm more like Paul in Romans chapter 7. He said, I'm good for nothing. But then when we walk in the Spirit, we are Paul, Romans chapter 8. That's the goal. The goal is to be the bride. Are we the bride? By communion with Jesus, fellowship with Jesus, by loving the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Seeking the Lord. Not the good of our church, but the good of Christ's church. Not the good of me and you, but the good of the bride of Christ. Every brother that we can help, whether he's here physically or whether he's somewhere else. That's how we can be the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ seeks the good of her husband. Not the good of a church, the good of her husband. Amen. And the husband is Jesus.
Amen.
The true bride is not the one that tried to create her church. Amen. Let's try to understand this. That's how we, if we ever going to be the bride of Christ, it's going to be by seeking the good of our husband. Our husband wants babies, spiritual babies, new disciples.
Yes.
Soul saved. He doesn't care about the garbage building called religious building. That's garbage. Look what's happening in Iraq at all those religious buildings. The Muslims took them over. They are there worshiping their God and cutting throats and chopping off heads in the churches. The churches are good for nothing. The true church is only, is not my building or your building. It's only the church of Jesus made of living stones. When is Christianity going to understand this? Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Well, give me another scripture, and maybe we close.
Yes.
Romans 8:16-18.
Romans 8:16.
Yes, please. Thank you.
The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
You know what the saddest thing in the world is going to be? People who prefer to be happy now instead of eternity. People were afraid to be martyred, to die for Jesus, to give everything they have for Jesus, like the rich young ruler. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, eternal life, you have to give all your money away. That was the idol.
Yeah.
The saddest thing in heaven would be to meet that guy. He's going to have a place for eternity, I don't know where, you know, because he didn't want to give up his false, passing, momentarily, worldly riches.
It's true.
Blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed are those of us who follow the example of Jesus. A poor, he didn't even own a donkey, he had to borrow that. He didn't even own a tomb, he had to borrow that. Didn't own a house, he had to sleep on the Mount of Olives.
Yeah.
Oftentimes.
Yes.
Blessed the ones who embrace, who love, who desire the poverty of Jesus in the flesh, so that they could have the riches of Jesus in the Spirit. Blessed, blessed. That's the bride of Christ. Bride of Christ is not those guys with the beautiful ties, a ring, golden ring here, big building. Those guys have ways to go. Amen.
Amen.
When Jesus came, they were the synagogue full of nice looking people. People were ashamed to walk around with Jesus. Well, Jesus is still here.
Thank you, Lord.
In the person of the poor disciples, or the disciple that maybe they only own a pair of shoes or two, you know, maybe a house on rent, and they dedicate every day to do something for the Lord. They get on their knees every day and say, Jesus, how can I make you happy? Jesus, I don't want to make the world happy. I don't want to be a good employee. I don't want to be an employee that my owner, my boss is proud of me. Maybe some multinational bloodsucker. Okay, Jesus, how can I make you happy? Jesus, not the world. I don't want the world to be proud of me, to give me diplomas, how proud they are. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. God help
Praise
us.
The Lord.
Amen. God help us to put our eyes on the real things. Not let ourselves be deceived by the passing things of this world. Unfortunately, lots of our own relatives and friends, they are deceived. And they live in the world as if this is it. This is all we get. And they don't realize that there is the real life coming after.
Maybe we can pray separately.
Yes.
Shall we say close up with a prayer?
Amen.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Anybody listening, Lord, I pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
We all pray together, Jesus. Make us your bride, Jesus. Give us, help us to decide, Lord Jesus. You're not going to make us your bride, Lord Jesus. It's our decision.
Amen.
Because it says about the bride in Revelation 19:7-9, it says the bride has made herself ready.
Amen.
For the white linen are the works of the righteous deeds, the works of the saints.
Thank you, Lord.
So it's not God that decides where the five virgins without oil locked out of the marriage chamber. Neither he decides who are going to be the wise virgin who decides to prepare oil so they can get into the chamber. What's oil? It's obedience. It's a love for Jesus. It's following the Lord. It's our obedience to the commandments. That's not something God can do. He gives us the power. But if we don't want to do it, the power is going to be good for nothing. He gives us the grace, but that's the grace by itself, the grace doesn't work. The grace is the free power that God gives when we obey. But if we don't want to obey, the grace is not going to be like the devil to force us to do anything. No. The grace is like the Holy Spirit. It comes and goes according to our decision. We decide we want to be a faithful bride or a whore.
Yes.
You want to be a whore or a faithful bride?
Hmm.
God help us. I want to be a faithful bride. I'm not able to. I'm good for nothing. But I'm going to do what I can, obey in
Jesus
the little.
Name, amen.
Okay, in the little, like it says in John, can you read it? John 14, 23.
John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him."
So, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words.
Yes.
Then we will come and live in him.
Yes.
The Father and I, the Father and the Son, God and Jesus, come and live within us. If we, what?
If we love him, we will keep his word.
If we love him and keep his word. As you see, this baloney of predestination, like the Calvinist, is good for nothing. It's our decision.
Yes.
God did not predestine us to be the bride or to go to the lake of fire, to be saved or to go to hell. Of course, no. It's our decision.
Amen.
It's our decision.
Amen.
Jesus evangelized Judas until the last day.
Hmm.
It's his decision.
It's true.
Okay, Jesus evangelized the Pharisee until they crucified him. It was their decision. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We can close here?
Yes, thank you, Jesus. May the Lord help us, all of us, to really put our hearts in God's hands and really trust him and just give everything. Give it all. Anyway, we'll have to leave it behind. So just give it all to Jesus.
Amen. The glory is to give it, to choose to give it.
Yes.
May, would you marry a guy because you're forced with a gun on your head?
Oh, no way.
Like the Muslim do? You put
no.
a sword on your neck and say, hey, you're going to marry this guy? Is that the way? Who wants a wife like that?
No.
Okay, I'll guess I will. That's ridiculous.
Hmm.
The beauty is when we choose to force a call for Jesus.
Willingly.
When we decide to give our life to Jesus. That's the beautiful thing.
Thank
not
you.
When you are forced or because we want the riches of God. Okay.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
Give our whole heart to Jesus in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
That's
Let's
where
do
all
it for Jesus.
Eternal blessings are forever.
Thank you, Lord. And
Amen.
We will be happy and we will rejoice that we did it.
Amen.
One day we'll say, thank God I did
thank
it.
Thank God I did it.
Amen.
Thank God I embraced the poverty of Jesus. That, quote unquote, the stable of Bethlehem was my house.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God I was willing to just live with a pair of sandals, in quotes. In other words, if poverty has to be in order to preach the gospel, let it come.
Hmm.
Amen.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.